Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 6 of the Business of Leadership. Here we got Ian and Kelly Wall, and of course co-host Mark. In this episode, we're going to talk to Ian and Kelly about their business, Alternate Root Coffee, how they got started, any hiccups, any issues that they may have had, and where they are today and what they have planned for the future. So welcome guys, glad you could take the opportunity to come and be a part of this podcast. So my first question is, why coffee?
Yeah, that's an interesting one that we kind of mulled over, right? We're chatting, was like, why did we end up coffee? We were talking, we were getting into this business, but it really started from a passion for coffee. We can't explain that passion. It was really my passion for a long time.
The we.
Yeah, I have a good support pad over here, but it was just something I was really passionate about ever since I can remember. And I was actually gifted like a coffee roaster years back, like 2015, I think, when we were chatting about it there. Just a mini like little home one. And then I really started going down the rabbit hole after that. Like I was always into it. And that really kind of just made me fall in love with coffee and read about it, watch videos about it, everything you can think about it, right? And it was always kind of my goal too, to become like an entrepreneur when I was younger, like a dream of mine. And I didn't really know what business I would be.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're always kind of looking at stuff, and I was like probably driving her crazy about like, what do you think about this as like a business idea, right?
You even like started some or like had ideas for some, and then they just kind of like
for other businesses.
Yeah, you always throw out ideas, and then so that was kind of like the same for this one. He's like, what about coffee roasting? I'm like, sure. another business. Okay.
Yeah,
I think that means like, you know, when it comes to that, you're ready to commit. If you're throwing the ideas around and you're just trying to pick the right niche market or whatever you're trying to target, I think it's bound to happen. You know, the passion's there regardless if it was coffee or another one of the projects.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good to hear.
And I think like what really anchored it is we knew we wanted to do something that we were passionate about. Yeah. We wanted to spend as much time doing stuff we loved. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That was really what it was all about. And that's really where it stemmed from. And that's everything that we've been really working on right now is we really are fortunate to get to do something that we love every day. Don't get me wrong. It has its non-fun parts. It's not all traveling and drinking coffee and, you know, having fun, right? It's like any business. There's logistics and ups and downs and everything like that. But, I don't know. It feels really good going to work every day. And it's really cool getting to like work with your partner as well.
Sure.
So not only business partner, but like husband and wife has like a really cool dynamic, right? So.
Some days good, some days bad.
Yeah, it's really good, actually.
I don't think every couple can do it, but we've definitely made it work. It hasn't been as bad as I thought it would be.
No. Well, you never know,
well,
right?
Well, you see, like, even, like, we started, and our first careers, like, we worked away a lot, so we didn't spend a lot of time together, and then we, like, slowly transitioned to, like, spending more and more time. Now we, like, literally spend 24 hours a day.
Yeah, work together,
so,
hang together.
I remember being like, I could never, like, live at home 5 days a week, like, with the same person, because we were on, like, shift work. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, oh, look, we, like, run a business together, and it's not.
So you guys have been in business for 8 years already?
Yeah, that's hard to believe, I guess. 17? So it was 2017 when we actually, like, incorporated and, like, actually started, like, okay, this is going to be a thing. It was probably, like, about a year, year and a half of just, like, playing around and, like, dipping your toe in the idea. We were trying to, like, put the timeline together today, and it was, like, so because we were, like,
I think that was one of the questions. And so we were like, what is the timeline?
It was a lot more organic than you would think, right?
That's like good, though, man.
Like, it wasn't so much like, here's the plan from the beginning. This is what we're going to do. It was like, here's a cool idea. We should try this. So it started out in like 2016. I think Kelly came home one day. I was like, I bought a commercial coffee roaster. She's like, what?
I decided I'm going for it. Yeah. And I was like, okay, very good.
Like, that's like what kind of started. I had nothing figured out on the back end how to actually do it.
Didn't even know we needed like a food handling permit.
Yeah,
like,
just.
Thought we'd just like set it up in our garage and like sling coffee beans to
that's
like whoever. And then Ian's like, turns out we need to be like health approved. It's like food. And we're like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. So just a lot of funny, like, it's funny looking back now, like naive we were, right? So you learn that stuff really quick, and we realize that it's like, oh, you can't just like do this in your garage.
You have to literally then dedicate your entire garage to being like
a
coffee shop. Safe, yeah.
Yeah, and all the zoning clean, and everything. Yeah, so it's like once we figured that out, we're like
parking for like a business license. Yeah. And all these things we were like,
eh. Yeah, it's not gonna happen. Yeah. So we went on to the next stage and we're like, okay, well, like what can we do? We didn't really have like a lot of access to capital. We didn't know right now like the different ways to access capital mm-hmm. that like I wish I knew, and I would really like any new entrepreneur, I would be like, oh, you should definitely check these out. So we basically thought, okay, we're going to have to self-leverage ourselves. So whatever assets we have, like personally, put them on the line to get a loan.
Makes sense.
For something like bigger scale. Yeah, or we're just like, well, what do we have that we can work with right now and figure it out? So we decided to go with the food trailer. And at that time, so it was like the first mobile coffee roastery. At that time, no one did it, like on the internet. Yeah. Like we didn't see anybody doing it. It was just like out of necessity.
You see a few now, actually.
You do see it now. There's quite a few in the States that have popped up. There's some
it's probably
in BC
more popular in like warmer climates.
Yeah, most of the ones I've seen were in warmer climates, right? Yeah.
So you're actually like roasting on the road? Is that
no?
Well,
okay.
No.
It's parked when you roast.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
The full intent, which is kind of funny, is like you think when you buy like a food truck, it was like, oh, we're going to get this out. And like that was the plan. Mm-hmm. Really, the plan was like, oh, this is like a registered, legal, commercial kitchen that we can get our business
up
and going.
We literally bought it to park it so we could have an AHS approved.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Good way to attack it.
So that really what it was, because we looked at building out full commercial kitchens, and at this point, like, we had no, like, guaranteed sales or nothing.
I still thought this was, like, Ian's, like, next bright idea. So, like,
It took a while, right?
It was
that's
idea.
Yeah,
that's what I mean, it was. Yeah. But, like, I was still like, okay. Like,
yeah.
It's not, like, a lease, like...
Yeah, so I think it was like kind of out of fear too, right? It's always scary, like, oh, do I lock into a lease and you know, invest all this money? How's this gonna go, right? And then ended up being a ton of money, more than I thought, anyways. Like off the bat, you think like, oh, that'd be pretty cheap to get into. You just like outfit a food trailer and slap a coffee roaster in it. That should be pretty easy, eh? And we quickly learned that it was like, oh, that's not really the case, right? So.
Do you think if it wasn't for your naivety about the business, do you think you would have went all in on it? Like if you knew all the hurdles you had to go through, everything you had to do, do you think you actually would have bought that roaster and went?
I don't know. Probably not, right? Because I think that's almost the best part about living is you don't learn until you go through it.
Hindsight's 50/50.
50/50, 2020, yeah. Yeah, it is for sure.
Yeah, and... Yeah, it's hard to say. I think if I would have known all that, I don't know if I would have pulled the trigger. But looking back, I would 100% do it again. Yeah.
And I would do it the same way because, like, it was very organic and it was, like, a very slow process. Like, we still both worked while we did this. And, like, we parked the food trailer at my sister's place and drove out 20 minutes because she lives on Anchorage. Like, every Saturday and Sunday, pretty much, like, just to, like, make it work.
To get the trailer and do your thing?
Well, like, we were doing it out there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because we didn't have a place to park it, so that was, like, the best spot was, like, her sister's.
Like, then you need to also have, like, where you store your beans has to be, a safe place, too. So that was in, like, another warehouse.
And so we had to rent
a warehouse. So we would, like, go and, like, load up buckets of green coffee, bring them there, like, roast them, package them, and then... put them back in bins and then haul them home and fill orders from the basement and like...
But you did it.
It was funny because at the beginning, like at a small scale, when you first start up, there's like no orders or anything. It's all small. You're like, this works. This isn't that bad.
You're trying to get stock behind you.
Imagine. And then like as it progressed into like, okay, this is like unmanageable doing this. We're just filling buckets and buckets of coffee, like loading them up into a vehicle, hauling them into
And then moving the green bags by hand into this like basement of this like facility. And they're like 70 kilograms each, so like we could easily hide a body now. Like,
because
every time we carry them, I'm like, Liz is like carrying a body, and we must have moved hundreds of bags.
Her and I, and they're usually range in size from like small ones are 35 kg up to like 70 kg. So we regularly got in the habit of hand bombing 70 kg bags. That's no handles on them; they're just like a canvas bag and
slinging them everywhere.
Yeah, just
and we're not CrossFitters. So
we're not CrossFitters. Not. So you guys would probably be like, "Oh, this is sweet. This is good." Yeah, it was like, okay, this is like my back hurt the next day.
I was slinging a 100-pound bag this morning.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was really funny. But then, you know, kind of moving it forward. And we knew, we're like, okay, we actually need to move this into like a full-time space and everything. We knew exactly what we needed at that point. We're like, okay, we need overhead doors, one level, maybe like pallet jack everything, like no hand bomb. And like, we knew how it all like needed to be just through like going through like.
You started looking at a legit business then. You're looking at a proper role, you're looking at a proper process.
Yeah, and at that point, we were ready to make the commitment because you're like, okay, we know what our sales are like. We know how to actually, or at least a little better than we like, how to manage the whole logistics of this thing, at least a little bit better. You know, all the permitting, all that kind of good stuff. We knew like exactly what we needed to do to take that next step. But that took, you know, 2 or 3 years of like learning from all different sources. Mm-hmm. One of our main sources we were really lucky is I had two business coaches basically right from the beginning. One of them was a family friend.
Sorry, is that something that you sourced yourself?
No, it was actually through like a family friend.
Really?
I don't want to say stumbled upon, but yeah, had good connections with and like they volunteered their time and it ended up being like the most, one of the most beneficial.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. And they're very like talented business women that like just really wanted to, I think to me, it's, I never asked them why they did it for us. You know what I mean? Like we offered to pay, but the vibe I got is they wanted to pass their knowledge on to the next generation.
That's good. That's
yeah. And they like enlightened us on so many things. Mm-hmm. Like I bet you, there was a pivotal moment going through it. And they were just the best ladies because they were just like super blunt. Like it was awesome. They were like, well, that's stupid. And when I'd say stuff like, I don't get it, right? And some of the ideas I'd be like, yeah, you're right. That is stupid. But some of them they would say like, that's not a very good idea. Why are you doing that? And I'd still do it anyways. And some of them worked out to be pretty good, right? So,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good that you could get some support behind you before you really had to launch it and not have to chase a financial coach or a business.
Yeah.
It's good to see when, I'm going to use the term community.
Yeah.
Community comes 100%. To help, especially for a local business.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mentorship, right?
Yeah. Mentorship is a big thing. It was, you know, people that have been through it. Doesn't matter the industry you're in. Someone that's been doing something for 30 years at a professional level, they have some lessons to share. And they're usually willing to share them to people that are like really, especially if they're interested.
Yeah.
So I was hungry for knowledge and I wanted to learn as much as I could. And I'm a really big like risk adverse person. You wouldn't think, but I like to buffer a risk when we make decisions. You know, it may look like random, but like you need to have a plan and you actually need to do kind of like a risk analysis of the thing that you're undertaking and see if it's viable.
You do.
And, you know, do your best to manage that risk because, like, I feel like that's what we do now is we're basically balancing risk in every decision that we make. You end up making tons of decisions every day and there's never, like, the right, say, like, the perfect answer, right? Mm-hmm. So you're always just like, all right, which one?
Some days I'll ask him, like, a question. He's like, you know what, Kelly, like, I just have decision fatigue. Like, I can't – he'll actually, like, I can't give you an answer. Like, I just can't make another decision. Okay.
Okay.
We'll table this till Monday. Yeah.
I would say it's a double-edged sword though, because if you didn't go out and have that impulse buy and buy the coffee roaster, you probably wouldn't be here today either.
No, and it was an impulse buy, which is like kind of hilarious, right?
So it's like, you know, you double-edged sword. Once you get that purchase and you committed, you see your business model, you see the success, then you start to look at those other avenues, right?
Yeah.
And that's where you see where we see a lot of these success stories or professional athletes have the same thing. What journey they go through to get to where they are. Win that medal, right? So yeah, it's the same concept.
Yeah. And it's very similar. People, a lot of times they think you're crazy when you do it. So it's like, I think every entrepreneur has that. Like when they tell people their ideas at first, people are like, what, really? Are you sure? Are you going to be all right? Like I remember when I quit my job, finally, like the full-time job that I was at first, like, I think I told your parents and like, parents. What? Like you quit? And you can see like the fear in their eyes, right? Yeah. When I told my parents, they're like, oh, that's awesome. Good for you. Yeah. I think you'll be able to make it. So it's just funny. Like but you can kind of tell, like, are you crazy? And we tell our friends and it's like, why would you do that? You had like a, you know, a job that brought in like a stable income, but you're like, yeah, but that's not like really what I was looking for. It was great. There was nothing wrong with the job, but I was looking for like, I don't know, excitement. Like I really wanted to chase down something that I was always been on my
really
mind.
Really likes
right?
to be challenged. Like he like cannot survive if he's like not in like a challenged role. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think, yeah, we just had to do something. Everyone's like, you're crazy for leaving. Like we had both had really good jobs and like, but Ian's like, I'm just not challenged. Or like, I want to do something different. So
yeah.
Sometimes then you got to take that risk, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes yeah. the risk is worth the reward.
And I must say, kudos to the both of you for, you know, having some of those hills. I'm sure you climbed many of them.
Yeah.
To be able to, you know, stick it out. And, you know, when people are like, prime example, well, really, you're going to do that? You're going to quit your job to open a coffee shop or a coffee roasting business? You know, to stick it out and be together and hold each other through it is key.
Yeah.
And that just shows that through strong willingness in business, you can really achieve any kind of outcome that you need to achieve.
And I think that's really what it is. It's the will. Mm-hmm. We were chatting like about that even today. We were at just like a business event. And what was the quote that the guy said? Desperation
some of the best. Drives results or something.
Yeah, we can't remember.
Like, something along those lines. And I was like, you're right. Like, it does, right? Like, I actually just left my job last week. And so I'm like, I'm getting like this. Come on, like, like, now it has to support both of us, like, full time. So.
I'm very similar in that same sense, too. Like, I find I thrive in chaotic situations.
Yeah.
And my procrastination leads me
to create some of those
situations, but I feel like that's where I feel most, like, where I can thrive the most.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I've always been like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting when you create those own situations for yourself, whether they're on purpose or not, but like the results you get out of those times are just amazing, right? And that really hit home when that speaker was talking today on a panel, because I think someone asked him, like, well, how'd you make it happen? He's like, well, you have to. So there is no, like,
they had like two kids. They had a whole family to support.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we had no choice.
Yeah. Yeah, it shows like the true human spirit that I think we all have, right? It's just like, you know, it is easy to take the easy route and what's comfortable. And like a lot of us, we fall into those. I'm guilty of doing that on a lot of things, right? But it seems to be like your human nature is like built in to be like, are you sure you want to go out in the cold? Are you sure you want to work that hard, right? But you got to be like, yes, that is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
starting to sound like David Goggins.
No, I'm not trying to do that. But yeah, it is kind of funny though. Yeah. Wasn't trying to do the Dave Goggins reference.
You think you're tired. You're only at 40%.
Yeah. No, I was at 90.
It was a great book.
Yeah. Yeah.
The coffee roaster you were gifted, did you ever thank that person? Like,
it was his parents.
It was my parents and my sister, and my auntie had been roasting coffee like her whole life. Like, just, like, as, like, fun or whatever, and she told her about it. So it was kind of, like, a cool little, like, family. Like, I think they had liked this. And, yeah, they know that, like, that started it all. So I've never really asked them, like, what they thought about that, like, or anything like that. But it'd be cool.
Lifetime supply of coffee?
Yeah. No, they still buy it.
They buy it. Yeah, they're huge.
That's good. Don't give anything away for free.
Well, that's always the hard thing, eh? Like, the friends and family discount. You're like, oh, I love you guys. But it's like, I also need to, like, pay a mortgage here, too. Like, you know, I'd love to give everybody free stuff.
Bags of coffee.
Yeah, I kind of need some coffee. Yeah. Yeah.
Just jumping back to that mentorship, though, Matt. I can't get it out of my head, like... As you guys also get older and more established within the business too, it's also going to be important for you to pass that knowledge on to somebody else too, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully when you guys do get older and the opportunity arises, you're able to pass that on and help somebody else out.
100%.
Well, I think that's something we owe, right? Like we were gifted someone's time, right? Like people choose where their time is, and we feel super grateful for that time. And I hope it feels weird though. It's like, oh, I don't know enough to like mentor somebody yet, but it's like when you
don't
reach that
yourself.
Point.
That's a pretty deep question. That's pretty deep. Like,
yeah.
It goes a long way. That's a good one.
Yeah. Cause it's like, I want to make sure if I would be telling something, I'm actually providing a value and not just kind of, I don't know. Just talking kind of thing, right?
Even if it's a second opinion or insight on something, it's important to keep that.
Yeah. Yeah. Color. And I think we chat a little bit about the community side of things as well. Is you have a lot of like informal mentors actually, and some of them are actually just other businesses that you're friends with. You know, you kind of sit and chat, and it's just really interesting
grow like a whole new community when you're business owner, I think. Like, honestly, we didn't really know that many people in like Leduc when we moved there, and like we didn't care to. We had like our friends in the city, and we're like, we're good. And then like we started this business, and we met so many awesome people just through other businesses or other connections, and like they understand what you're going through. It's just like a different community than like your high school friends or university friends. Like,
well, they can relate. I guarantee they've went through the same struggles, the same issues.
And they all want to like support each other. It's for just, sure. I don't know. It's a really cool like community.
Coming back to that, yeah, community, it's key. It's what drives a small business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my family's driven small businesses before, and that's what we do. And very much the same. You know, you're ingrained in the community, you start to make these connections, and that's where your business comes from.
Yeah, yeah. It's important to, like, give back to your community. Yep. And it is. Just be like, I just live here.
It creates a really cool ecosystem where you're cheering other people on, and so, like, they're cheering you on, right?
Definitely.
Through, like, many different avenues, right? So,
it's good.
Yeah. Alternate route. Why?
The name.
Where'd it come from?
We wanted to put it into words. Yeah,
like, we wanted, like, the sales pitch thing.
Ian's like, I want, like, one sentence that really just resonates with everybody. But, like, so, I don't know. This our life is the alternate route, I guess. It's like taking a different path than, like, maybe what would be, like, society's idea of, like, because we had the society's, like, idea of, like, the perfect life or whatever, perfect jobs.
Go to an office,
we had our suburban house. We both had awesome jobs. I had a pension, I worked for the government.
Yeah, you go to an office, and, you know, if I work hard, really hard every day till I'm 65, then I can start doing things I like. And I'm just like, I felt like I didn't want to, like, do that. You know what I mean? I didn't want to wait till I was 65 to feel alive. I didn't want just, like, the comfort part of it.
It was almost boring, for lack of a better
term. It kind
of
was, right? It felt like we weren't really...
let's take just, like, a different... Let's do something different. Let's do something that, like, fills our buckets.
Like, almost like you were looking for a challenge.
I think maybe it was, yeah. I don't know.
We have a sign in our roastery. I don't know if you noticed it, like, above the door, and it's like a double black diamond, like a ski run sign, and it says alternate route.
I did see that.
So it's just about, like, taking, like, maybe a harder path, but it'll be more fun.
The
path less traveled.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really based on that is, it's really just figuring out a way to spend as much time doing what you're passionate about. You know what I mean? And, like, not settling for that. And usually, like, when you say alternate route, usually stuff that you're passionate about, it's not like there's not, like, an easy path that's like, oh, this company is, like, hiring a coffee roaster and then you can just go do that and have fun. It's like, well, that wasn't really there. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know a path to make this. Like, how can I spend time doing this all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think we work harder now than we did before.
Yeah.
But I think we also feel more fulfilled. Like, it's just so rewarding working and watching, like, your successes, like, not really like good. The government success.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Is that even a thing? But it's awesome to, like, just, like, I mean, the lows are a lot lower, but, like, the highs are a lot higher.
I can imagine. And it's crazy because, like, when I hear alternate route, I think of where the coffee's going to take me once I get one. Like, that's kind of where my mind goes.
Yeah.
You know, what route is it going to take me once I get my coffee? I'm going to go to the office.
Yeah.
Or am I going to go be a welder? Or, you know, that's kind of where it takes it for me. So, yeah, it's cool. I think I really dig the name.
And that's what we're hopefully doing, like, on the back of the coffee bag, is hopefully, like, inspire people to be like, I should take a leap. Maybe there's something in the back of your mind that you always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're like, hey, I just want to, like, take this college course or something like that. Or maybe I want to even try a different job at the same company, but you're like, I don't know, right? But it's just like, do it. And like, you want, like, when you, because when I hear stories of other people just, you know, just going after it, it motivates me. I'm like, well, why can't I do it? Like, this person, like, totally did a 180 and figured out how to make it work. Like, what makes us different? Why we can't do that, right?
So I'll be honest, that's exactly how this podcast started.
Yeah.
It was like, I was toying around with the idea. I got into podcasts, like, probably like a year ago. Started listening to them, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I think there's an idea. Like, my huge passion is leadership, like we talked about. Business kind of ideas and people who are high performers, what motivates them. And just transcending that knowledge into different people. No different than Mark and I at work with our teams. So I had this idea, and him and I were tossing it around for a while, and we were dragging our feet, dragging our ass, and I said, you know what? Fuck it, man. We're going to do it. I don't care. We don't have all the gadgets. We don't have all the tools. We still don't. But we have mics from work and stuff. And we just borrow them. And you know what? We went for it, and it's not the greatest quality, but we still continue to kind of learn, evolve, and keep pushing that envelope.
Spread that message, I think, is the key. And
find something that you're passionate about, man.
Yeah. And, like, it'll grow organically. Like, we had, like, 3 people that bought our coffee in the beginning, and I'm pretty sure 2 of those were our parents. So, like, just do it. And honestly, podcasts are great. Like, we both listen. You listen to a lot.
I'm obsessed with them on all topics.
But I really enjoy, like, yeah, I listen to everything from, like, finance, like, business, mm-hmm. like, health. Great. Like, I just, like, love, like, learning about it. And audiobooks are good, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I started, actually.
Yeah,
yeah, I actually started with the audiobooks as well. And then they're too expensive, so I was like, well, podcasts are free.
I only get one token a month.
Yeah, so I'm just like, okay.
The library has audiobooks.
Yeah, they do. So, but then audiobooks, like,
a library card.
They reminded me a lot of, actually, like, a book, because you just got to essentially hear other people's perspectives, and it just, I found I was just, like, learning more and more, and just, like, a couple things I realized is, like, wow, we're all very similar. No, like, we all have very similar feelings as humans, you know, and everybody processes them in, like, different ways. So it's cool listening to podcasts, and that's where you learn.
I think that's one benefit podcast has, is because there's no really governing body. You can put whatever content out you
want. Yeah.
Yes. And people are truer, more honest. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, hiding behind Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, in a book, you have to meet a certain style of publication, all that sort of jazz. But podcasts are real and...
Yeah, they're pretty raw. Like, they can be pretty raw, definitely. Yeah.
You get so many different opinions and experiences.
Well, the barrier to entry is really low, and I think that's what makes it awesome, because you 100%. Have all sorts of different folks that you get to hear and learn from, right? It's not like something like, oh, yeah, no, you have to actually have $100,000 worth of gear to get into this and, like, a network deal. It's like, no, you can, like... You could probably, I don't actually know anything about it, but, like, you could do it on a phone probably, right? Like, if you wanted to, like... Most people have a phone, so it's like the barrier to entry is like, okay, let's do that, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, we're big fans of podcasts. I don't know if they, like, track it as a stat, but I'd love to know how many hours of them I listen to in a year. It's got to be hundreds. It's got to be hundreds, right? So, yeah, there's some good ones.
You had mentioned when we talked, we were at your place, you guys don't actually have salespeople.
No. Right?
No.
So how did
very small team.
How did you get your product out to market?
It was honestly through relationship building. That was like a really big trick that we'd learned, not actually from the two mentors we were talking about, but another mentor that we were lucky enough to have. And it really resonated with our values. It was just like, if you build relationships with people that are actually built on substance, like you're not just trying to like sell something, like, or do something.
Used car salesman.
Yeah, doing a pitch all the time, trying to get
you. Yeah, like you're not doing a pitch. It's just like it seemed to organically come, and it, like, it wasn't overnight or anything. And we still did strategic things, don't get me wrong, but a lot of it wasn't like, we don't like doing old school sales. Like, I consider old school sales as, like, you know, you have the techniques and you know, show you read up, and you show up and
become the sample bag.
The annoying guy.
Yeah, and then you're like, you're following up on it and stuff. And I remember even buying stuff in the past, whatever it was, but you'd meet like a good salesman, like whatever they're selling, and he really wasn't pushing you on anything. He was just like educating you, never would ever reach out to you after. But then you'd be like, I like that guy. So when you finally decide that you do want to buy his product, you're like, I'm going to call that guy because like I liked his sales style, which wasn't really sales at all.
Yeah.
They like educate you, and they're just like, yeah, if you need anything else, let me know.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I think as like an entrepreneur, especially like in the startup stages, you are like the jack of all trades. You do. I was like the bookkeeper. Like, Ian was like the sales guy. Like,
yeah.
I hate bookkeeping. We do not do that anymore. But like, yeah, so you... Yeah, you try and build relationships, but, like, you have to, like, go out and, like we reached out to Friesen Bros, and the reason we got in was because they liked our packaging. Our packaging looked professional.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, had we done it, like, I don't know if you saw our first bags, but, like, had that been sent to Friesen, that would not be on the shelves, but, like, we took the leap and invested, I don't know how many. We had to buy 10,000 bags, I think.
Yeah, which was big at first, and now you're like, okay, like, when are we going to buy some more of these?
Yeah, now we're going to, like, buy another, like, round of bags. But, like, we, like, and made sure we invested, like, the time into, like, a designer. And, like, because I remember the biggest thing Ian told me actually was our logo. He was like, we need to design a logo. He's like, but it's going to cost us $3,000 at the beginning. $3,000 for a logo, like, no. I don't think so. And Ian was like, this is not Ian again. I'm going to do it anyway. So he like met with this designer, and like, we get so many compliments on our logo, or people like, your logo just like, I was just so attracted. And I'm like, he was like, well, some of the best money we spent. So
well, now you're looking back, you're like, that's cheap. Cause you just didn't know, you were naive, right? You're just like, why does that cost so much?
Seems like a lot of money.
Well, because it's a highly skilled person creating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. It's hard.
it's so funny because the logo, like I have you both on Instagram, and the logo is you.
Yeah.
Like the mountains, coffee, obviously, and the van.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I envisioned.
Have to turn it into a Ford.
Well, and like,
the
vibe we were going for was like alternate route. What inspired me was, it was kind of the same thing we're doing. It was like, before van life was a big thing, there were so many people that really wanted to like, hey, I want to like hang out in a ski town. Yeah. Like, I can't afford anything. So it's like, I'm just going to live in a crappy van and make my dream happen. So I was like, oh, that's what like we're doing, right? That's we're going to figure out a weird way to make what we want to do
it's
happen.
Great. And
yeah.
The logos.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah, no, we appreciate
that. So, some of the best money we spent.
Yeah.
To date, what would you consider the highlight of the journey that you've been on with Alternate Route? Like, what has been that proud moment, the most proud moment?
I think we were chatting about that. They were like, oh, that's hard. And, like, we kind of ended up saying the same thing as when we were able to quit our jobs. And we loved our jobs. Like, we're not trying to hack those jobs, but it was just like a feeling of empowerment. You're like, it's all me now. Like, this is, I have the freedom and accountability.
It's a sink or swim, really.
Yeah.
Like, it worked when you go back to the day-to-day job, right?
Yeah. Like, sometimes I think about, like, if I actually work, like, full-time in an organization, I'm nervous. I was like, oh, I'd be a crappy employee. So it's like, I don't know.
I think also our, for me, it was like our grand opening at our like actual grocery. Like we had like a space that wasn't a food trailer. So it was like,
that's a big moment.
Yeah. Like the whole like ribbon cutting and like, we have really great partners with the Edmonton International. They're our landlords, I guess. And they're so supportive. And like, so we had like news people there. Oh, wow. Like we were on TV.
That's
like,
great.
It was really cool. And it was just like really proud to be like, this is,
and that was at the place right now?
Yeah.
Well, it's cool, too, because usually you're always constantly looking ahead that we sometimes forget. And, like, we've only said that a few times. But we're always so, like, we have these goals. Like, we need to achieve these. And we, like, accomplish something awesome. We're like, hey, great job. And then you, like, almost forget about it and move on. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
what's next? So it's like we've been trying harder to, like, actually look back and, like, celebrate, like, the small wins along the way. Because, you definitely get the feeling that you're just, like, you know, like, oh, I don't actually know what I'm doing here. It's like, we still got so much work to do. Like, we need to get so much better.
Yeah. We're so not always real like, business.
Like. Yeah, like, we're always, like, quite hard on ourselves that way. And it's like, I think it's healthy and sometimes unhealthy in a way. But it does push you to be the best that you can, because we constantly think what we do is, like, could use improvement. In fact, we start every week. We call it, like, our continuous improvement moment. It's like you have to start every week at a meeting and we like openly talk about what didn't
go
well.
We have a big whiteboard in the office, and every time something goes wrong or like you think of something we could do better, anybody on the team is supposed to write it down. And at the beginning, we're like, hey, what are our new continuous improvements? Like,
so it's like an open forum.
Yeah.
And it really allows for everybody to bring stuff up, because it can be hard in some organizations 100%. If something doesn't work. And we really want to pull the human aspect out of it, because our point of view is like, we all know humans make mistakes, right? Yeah. So like, that's not their fault if the business set up a system where it just allows a human to make a mistake, because we're all humans. We all make mistakes. Mm-hmm. So our thought is it's the system's broken if we have mistakes happen. And, you know, the person shouldn't feel like accountable, unless they just like there was a system. They're like, I don't care about your system, but which like it, doesn't happen.
I got to duct tape the hitch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a side story.
So question for you. With being a, you know, a small local business, how many staff do you have now at work for you guys?
There's 4 of us total, and then we have another partnership at the Business Entrepreneurial Center in Nisku. And we have 1 employee that's going to be starting next week on that. So just to be 5 of us total.
Yeah, Ian and I, and then 2 other staff plus 1 coming on next week. So plus like our accountant and our bookkeeper.
Yeah, we do have a lot of contract work that
we're really great lady we use for like our HR and like hiring like subcontractors.
We're
too small to do that like in-house, but so we have some really great partnerships.
Yeah, really great partnerships that help like look after those aspects of the business. But the great thing nowadays is like the gig economy is real. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of people that are like, yeah, I can do bookkeeping for you. Or it's like, yeah, I do design work. Or yeah, I do this special thing. Yeah. So it's like you can kind of piece it out.
Yeah, you can.
And they just do a really great job because that's what they do, right? And a lot of them are so good at it. They're like, yeah, I can do that for you in 2 hours a week. And you're like, oh, really? That task would take me probably 15 hours. So it's kind of that hybrid approach. And I think all of them are pretty much like local to this area, which is really cool. So, you know, you're hopefully supporting the local businesses around, which is nice too. And a lot of them are very similar people to us, where they're just kind of following what they want to do. And, you know, they kind of do their own thing, right? And so it's pretty cool to support that.
We talked about like the positive and the highlights, but do you guys ever look back? We talked about the continuous improvement. But do you ever look back and look and see what actually like the highlights and tear them apart and see what went right, why it went right, and like dissect them?
Yeah, all the time. Everything event that we do, we all focus it around like a continuous improvement loop.
I feel like we do that less though. And I think this falls back to like
it's a human element.
Trying to celebrate the small wins. Like I feel like if something goes wrong, we really dissect it. If it goes great, like great event, guys, great event.
Hats off, move on to the next one. I know.
Yeah, but yeah, I never thought about that. But the focus is usually clear errors that we as a team make, and everybody knows, and we're like, we need to fix these, and all the effort's on. It's like, let's get this fixed, let's do it better, and we don't really say like. Yeah, there was 10 other things we did really good. So, that's like, just like
we also start
baseline.
The meeting with like a
recognition
moment. But I feel like so we're just like, oh yeah, great job, thanks for doing this.
And yeah.
Like somebody steps up or somebody comes in, like we've had people come in and be like, oh, your staff are so great. Like they obviously get the
they
recognition.
Are.
So like, thank you. So like, but yeah, I don't think we again trying to celebrate the small wins. Like I think it's something we don't do enough.
Yeah, I think we do need to work on that a little more because I think sometimes you focus just on like really big, massive, like groundbreaking stuff, and you forget that it's like, well, actually, what got us there was a ton of little wins and moving toward there. Mm-hmm. Like you don't really do anything really cool and like. You know, one big step, or we haven't anyways. A lot of it has been kind of organic growth towards those bigger things, right? So it's been cool. And I think that's eye-opening, too. I think wherever you put your energy at, that's where you move, right? So I think it is cool to celebrate those things, and I think we should do it a little bit more.
Put that on the continuous improvement
board.
It's like a human nature thing, though, right? Like, whenever something goes good, we don't really think about it. We just continue on.
Yeah, you just like, this works good.
Yeah, but when something happens and there's an issue or there's an error and there's roadblocks and barriers, that's when we actually think we need to dissect them, which is not necessarily wrong, but I think we really, as a human nature and in business and leadership and whatever, we really need to focus on a lot of those small wins or those mediocre wins and continue to push that through the organizations.
Well, it feels good too.
100%.
You know what I mean? And especially if someone else recognized, that was kind of the point behind those recognitions. Like it feels good, right? When someone's like sincerely says, like, even if it's something small, right? Like, thank you. I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Right. That was always something like when I was on the other end as an employee that I actually appreciated. I didn't like it in public. Or like when I don't like that public recognition thing, but I really appreciate it when someone would like stop by like your office or give you a quick text or like, hey, good job. Like you really, I appreciate your efforts.
That's good.
I was like, I appreciate it. They're like, oh, they noticed that I like really tried hard. So I try to like do that for, you know, other people. Cause I'm hoping that has the same effect. There's a book that talks about that, but it's kind of similar to like the five love languages, but people all like, recognition in a different way. Okay. Some people like gifts, some people like acts of service. Yeah. It's like very similar based on that concept.
A lot of people like touch. Yeah.
No, but like everybody likes, and some people like public accolades. Like not me, I feel like embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I don't, but some people do. So it's like kind of figuring out what makes, I guess people different tick, people, right?
Yeah, what personality traits fit which people, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We did a very similar thing at work there at one point.
Insights.
Yeah, it was really good.
Oh, was that disc training?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I did that as well, too.
As well.
Yeah, and it tells you kind of like your personalities and like how you should chat with certain people.
Different colors?
Yeah, I was a yellow and red, so what is it? Like yellow is like super like sociable.
Yeah.
Like that's what I love doing. And then
I was yellow-green.
Yeah, so like, and then it says like recommendations.
I feel out of
like,
the loop.
When you walk into
the government
office,
doesn't do this. They don't care what you feel like.
I found it really good and insightful because what it like opened my eyes up to is like I always, you know, tried to treat people the way that I like to be treated. Mm-hmm. But it was like, well, some people want like something different. So some people hate it when you come to their office and have small chat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they just want like, give me the business and say go. And then some people were like, how's your weekend doing? And I'm like, how's your weekend going? How's the kids going? Like, you doing good? And it's like, I like that, right? Then you're like, okay, now let's talk business and be serious. But it was just like, it was eye-opening there. Like, oh, okay, yeah, people have different.
You do. And I think in organizations, small or large, you've got to know the level of the person you're talking to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're not going to come at a yellow or a green, let's use that example, with a red energy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just not going to get it, right? So, you know, you've got to look at the situation, look at the people, look at the process, and then tailor it to what fits both and works, what fits and works both for both of you.
Yeah.
You can't always have one for win over here and one loss over here. It just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So that's really good.
Yeah, it's such a dynamic thing. And yeah, I really enjoyed that course. I know some people didn't really like, they're like, I don't know if that makes sense. I thought it was quite insightful. Like, I love that kind of the psychology side of it. Because I think we all kind of know it in the back of our heads. We're like, oh yeah, that person, when I tell them something, they want like usually data on a PowerPoint slide. Yeah. And then another guy will be like, you did the work, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, that's good enough for me. So it's just like funny how different people wanted different, like expected different things, which made them comfortable, right? If you were proposing something to them. Yeah. And then you see that because those personality types usually trend towards certain jobs, right? We notice that. You know, like the social people are generally in, you know, the some type of roles, and like the data analytical people usually like jobs where they're like really dealing with like hard data. You know what I mean? And analyzing it and using that to make decisions. And
that's where the like-mindedness in business comes.
Yeah.
Find people that are in the same interest or the same color or energy.
Yeah.
And you hold on to those people or you grow from those people. So, yeah, you're hitting all the nails on the head.
I disagree with you wholeheartedly.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think it's important to have the variation of different people and different energies. Like you and me, man, we're almost like complete opposite. Mm-hmm. But we work so well together.
It's that yin and yang.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it's more the energy brings you being yellow.
Yeah.
I would instantly be drawn to you because I'm a social kind of guy. I'm drawn to that instantly. Where I know Matt brings that blue energy. He likes to be a bit more methodically thinking. It'll take a bit more time to process. Where I'm a bit more shoot from the hip. Right.
Yeah, that's why I have to make a decision. Like whoa, whoa, whoa.
And you know that's where the yin and yang is. And you know, I gravitate to that, and I've seen in business where that red energy or that business energy, they'll gravitate to each other as well. So,
and yeah, I think that's good. Why, I don't know, maybe
we're quite opposite.
We are quite opposite, and I feel like that's why we work really well together in business and, I guess, life. But, like, you know, get hot-headed about something, I'm like, okay, like, and I'll have to, like, talk, like, and then, but all the same thing, I'll get overworked about something, and he's like, okay, but, like, what about this perspective? And I'm like,
Because different things like upset different personalities, you know what I mean? Or cause stress for us. So something that would be stressful for me, she's like, that doesn't matter to me at all. And then she talks about it to you like, you know, without emotion and just like breaks down. You're like, oh yeah, you're 100% right. No, I'm actually not upset about that at all.
Yeah.
But like when you're certain.
Yeah, we have different strengths and different like perspectives and energy, like you said. And I think that like we're similar on a lot of levels, but we're very different people, I think.
Yeah, I think that's been the big benefit of working together is kind of that counterbalance and challenging each other. We're big fans of that. Mm-hmm. Like, we should be challenging each other on the way we do things or if we need to be better. And we should be able to say that to each other. I feel like, not to generalize as Canadians, but like, we're so friendly that sometimes it's hard to tell somebody or give someone feedback.
Yeah.
But like, to me, feedback from a well-meaning place, even though it might be hard to hear, is like, it's important because if you're saying it from, like I said, like a well-meaning place and you want them to improve, it's hard to give because it's awkward, right? Mm-hmm. But like, feedback's a gift.
Oh yeah,
I think it is. And even some feedback I've gotten, like, well, that hurts, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's that constructive criticism, right? Like, it's, there's a delivery, a way you can deliver that message, and it's obviously not, you don't want to be too direct, but like,
no, there's a method.
You also have to deliver it different again to different people.
Different people need it different.
Yeah, like, and also I guess it depends on the relationship. Like, I have no problem telling you my feedback, but like, I wouldn't go to our staff and approach them the same way I'd approach you. You're an idiot.
Stupid, yeah. Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I've also found a business, you know, giving that friendly advice, also being prepared for them to reject it.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be ready and you can't be upset if they don't take that advice. Quote unquote, you took some advice, you said, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so you would hope that whatever information is given, whatever the decision is made, is the right one for that person at the time. Mm-hmm. And you continue on the path.
And it's based on their experiences.
100%.
Like, right. So they do what you give them the tools and they do with it as they see fit.
Yeah. I think the approach is a big part and understanding that too, because honestly, everybody receives feedback differently. And I think we'd probably be a good example. You'd like usually probably the more like softer feedback, right? Where I really like when someone just right away, they're like, stop, why are you doing that? Like, that's wrong. And then they just tell me straight up. I'm like, okay, perfect. Like, that's good. Like, I like just direct, blunt feedback is good. Whereas sometimes if people, for me personally, try to do it like nicely and I leave that conversation, I'm like, what were they trying to say to me? Like, I don't, was that what they were trying to say? Like,
I'm very much similar.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's hard, but you always appreciate it, right? So, so we've been really bad, like really big on feedback. I think is an awesome trend. Sometimes we think we're performing a certain way, and like everyone around you disagrees with that, right? And like I want to know that. I don't want to keep doing something that's like causing an issue. Yeah. Or if you're doing something well, I want to know that and keep doing it.
Oh yeah,
kind of thing like that, especially, right? So,
well, that conversation just went full circle.
Yeah.
It really did.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have many moments where you probably felt like the walls were caving in. Do you have any that you want to share? Like any moments where you're like, fuck, I shouldn't have did that. Or like you bought a coffee roaster and you're like, what the hell?
Well, one thing we did, it was kind of just more of a funny story. So we were looking at, well, it wasn't funny at the time, but we were looking at like, So we were looking at like a place to lease or whatever. And we were like pretty sure that we were going to get this lease space. So we're like, oh, let's buy this huge coffee roaster. So we bought it and it was like on delivery. You can't change it. And then it had like everything was lined up in my head that was going to be perfect. And then the lease fell through.
Oh, no.
And then this roaster was coming. And we had nowhere to put this. This thing weighed like 1,300 pounds. It's giant. Like, I
don't know. The one we have there.
And I'm like, holy crap. So we better like find somewhere to put this. So that was kind of funny. Yeah. You had like a well thought out plan that and just like fell apart for whatever reason. And then you're like, okay, I guess we have to adapt. And like, we made it happen. And we were lucky, landlords, we were close.
So what did you do would be the question.
Well, that's where we ended up at the airport
space.
Really
put it into like drive to like office space.
Okay.
Yeah. When that happened, my all day, every day was like, we got to find something.
Mm-hmm.
So like nothing else was.
We were looking. And then like we found this one that we thought was great, but the landlord was a real treat. And so then it kind of just like fell apart. But like we thought it was this perfect spot and he seemed really great up front. So we bought this roaster and then it just like all like caved in. And it was Christmas.
Oh, no.
Oh yeah, Christmas. Yeah, we were taking photos.
It was like right before, it was right before Christmas. And we
trying
were
to get a lawyer to review it. We're like, could you have this done by December 28th?
Calling all of our like realtor friends, like getting us in touch with like commercial realtors.
Yeah.
And then, Ian came to me and was like, what about the airport? I'm like, that's the stupidest
place idea. Yeah.
Like, why would we go out there? Like, who's going to like. And then he's like, well, let's just look. Hugh had looked there already.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, like, shut it down instantly.
I already had a vision in my mind of a doctor.
And so he's like, well, come. I didn't see it. So he's like, come see the space. And I'm like, okay. So we went back to it. And then, like, being there, I'm like, this might actually be perfect. And, like, the airport was just so great to, like, work with.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we were like, okay. And then they let us like dump our roaster there before the lease was.
That's what they
like
say. I asked him. I was like, "This is gonna be," but I was like, "Hey, we don't officially like."
We had signed it, I think, but it wasn't officially our space yet.
Yeah, till like the following month or something. So we had like 10 days or I can't remember, but like a period of time where we weren't legally renting that. We're like, "Can we put the roaster there?" They're like, yeah, for sure, as long as
and
you have insurance on it. We're
the
like,
the
okay,
real
cool.
Cherry on top, we're like, do you have a forklift?
Oh, yeah. Do you have a forklift?
To move the roaster.
So I didn't think that you needed a forklift. I don't know why I didn't think that.
So they helped us out with that, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was an interesting one. So it wasn't really like a huge deal, but it was kind of funny. And it was big at the time. You know what I mean? Like, we had nothing figured out. We thought we committed.
What's the original first purchase? Like, that's the roaster that's going to make you the money, right?
Yeah, like, we had invested in all of this, right? So it was kind of a funny experience. But, like, walls falling around us. Like, what was one that we had? I think, you know, at the end, before we figured out a way, it was a big one. So we were on that 2-kilogram roaster, roasting out of the food trailer. And at the end, we were roasting 7 days a week, every day. And, like, we still couldn't keep up. And it was starting to feel like it was breaking us. And you were still working, and it was just like, oh, it was rough because you couldn't get ahead because all you were doing was just like roasting coffee. So it was a good thing because you're like, hey, we built this to this point, but like this is no longer
the demand was
sustainable
high.
There. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, but like that was right at the beginning of COVID. So we had to make a large capital purchase, take another big gamble. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, perfect. So it was like a weird kind of pivotal moment. And we held on to it way too long. Like we did that for too long.
We held on to the safety net of it.
Yeah, because we're like, this is good, and it took us a while to make the leap. Probably did it a year too long, but I would say we kind of make some decisions a year too late, and we get through it.
Yeah,
and then when you make the change, you're like, oh, this is so much better.
Yeah, like, we were just like gun shy, I guess, which I guess is not a bad thing, but yeah, we hold on to it until we're literally so stressed out because we have so much work on our plates that we're like, we have to change this process. So
yeah,
it was a lot.
So yeah, that was a lot, and it was kind of weird because it was a good thing. We never actually planned the next step. Our dream was like, we got to get to this point where we're roasting all day, every day. And then we did, and we're like, oh, no, what do you do next? Kind of thing, right?
There's so, been, like, little instances, too. Like, remember when, like, there was a flood where our coffee, like, our green coffee was originally stored, and we had to move it?
Oh, yeah.
And we were, like, in pure panic, like, what we're going to do with it. And, like, again, this came back to, like, our community. Like, we knew people in the business community, so we reached out to, like, one lady. And she's like, yeah, you can, like, store it in, like, the basement of this, like, it's in the basement of the little co-work. She had, like, rental space.
Okay.
And so we, like, she, like, hooked us up with that. It was, like, for, like, a really good deal. And, like, I don't know, just little things. Well, remember when our
roaster or the heater in our
food trailer almost burned down? Yeah.
It was just an electric heater, and for whatever reason.
Because we had to, like, keep the water thawed. So, like, it was in, like, this cubby. So we just heated the cubby because you need to have, like, hand washing water. And my sister would, because it was at her place, she would, in the morning, she would go in and get go in and turn on all the other heaters so it would be, like, warm in there. And she went in there and called us. She's like, it's full of smoke and, like.
And it was, like, plastic burning smoke. Oh, yeah. So yeah. Stink in there.
And we were supposed to leave on a
ski trip
with friends. We had to cancel our ski trip. We, like, lost our money, which was fine. Then we had to, like.
Spend 3 days, like, cleaning. We had to scrub the walls.
Because, like, you could taste, like, you could roast it in there and you could taste that, like, burnt plastic.
Right.
So, like, yeah, we spent, and it's minus, like, 30.
It was minus 32 when it happened.
So we're just like, you can't just air it out because, like, you can't wash the wall. Like, it's ice cubes. So we're, like, trying to heat it, but clean it. And clean, like, products. And we're and, still, like, and then we still have orders of coffee to go out, but we can't roast
while you're cleaning. Yeah,
oh, God.
Yeah, it was just everything. Yeah, so that was a funny one, too. There's lots of those. That's what I found, like. I feel like we haven't had anything that's really been like, oh no, this could be the end. It's just been like a bunch of small ones, and those are like those low lows that you talk about.
Yeah.
And you move on from them pretty quick. When you're in the moment, like,
it seems dealing like the with end the of problem, the world, yeah.
It's hard.
For sure.
But then once you fix it, you kind of laugh about it. Like, once it's fixed, right? Yeah. But in the moment, it kind of sucks. You're just like, oh, I don't know how we're going to figure this out, but I guess we'll get it figured out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, lots of small moments like that, I think. And I think that ties back to what you were saying is like, the lows are really low, and then, like, the highs are really high.
Feel really low, yeah.
Because, like, and then you get some good successes or something good that happens to you, and you're just, like, on top of the world. You're like, I don't even care about those bad things that happened yet. This is awesome, right? Yeah. So, yeah, there's no, like, middle ground, it seems like. It's always, like, really good, or you're like, oh, this sucks kind of thing, so.
Tough decisions.
Yeah.
What's some of the hardest ones you've had to make as entrepreneurs?
Well, I think one of the...
Buying, is gonna be expanding. A fun,
like, yeah, expanding is always...
Like, when to do that. Like, Ian quit his job first, so, like, that was probably one of our biggest decisions, because Ian was very much the breadwinner for, like, he made more money than I did, but, like, it was his craft. Like, I can't roast coffee. So I ended up actually going part-time at my job first. That was, like, the first step to, like, give us more time. So I was, like, filling orders, delivering orders, like, that kind of thing. And then there's only so much I can do because I wasn't the roaster. So then the next step was, like, Ian to, like, free up his time. So I think that was a big step.
Yeah, and I've noticed one thing, too, that adds a bit of stress is, now when you're taking risk, before it used to just be you and I that risk impacted. Mm-hmm. Now when we take risks, there's like, okay, there's people whose livelihoods depend on us, staff. Employees. There's other businesses whose their businesses depend on us providing a service. So I do notice that sometimes when you're like, you're making a risky decision, which is, you kind of always have to do that. I'm like, this impacts, like, if this doesn't go well, this impacts a lot of people, and that, like, scares you, right?
Does that play a part in your decision?
100%. It has to, right? And I think that makes you, as you kind of grow, like, it makes you a little bit more adverse. Because, like, I'm fine, especially if her and I agree. If we take a risk, we like to think of worst case scenario. If that happens to us, it's like, whatever. Like, we brought it on ourselves. But, like, I don't really ever want to make a decision that, like, negatively impacts our partners. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, something that's like, ooh, this is a big risk. Yeah. And we, like, we talk a lot about partners in our business, because we always say, if our partners succeed, we succeed. And our partners aren't just, like, who we buy off of or who we sell to. We consider our partnership, like, essentially your overall community, right? Yeah. It's other businesses you work with. It's our employees. It's pretty much everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens, and how do we impact these partners if we do make a poor decision? You know what I mean? So I think that's one thing that's really it really affects your decision making, because you just want to make sure that you're making the best decision for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to be just selfish. So you want to be like less reckless, I hope. You know what I mean? Because I feel like we were kind of reckless in the beginning, just like probably because you don't know better yet.
And we so still like, had whatever. Our other jobs, and we're like, who cares?
It's like a hobby, more or less.
Yeah, it was a hobby. And I thought Ian was just like on his little tangent of like, here's entrepreneurial flavor, but like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were there other business ventures that actually went through?
There was one. I started a crappy t-shirt company. That one didn't work out. Yes. Everybody friends. Does that yeah. with some friends. We're still great people.
Stuck in our basement at literally
minutes. Yeah, so it was a cool idea. Just nothing was thought out. Didn't really work out. So that was one. Yeah. I think that was about the only other one business that, venture.
That, like, actually,
most of them were like kind of like mind experiments. Like I'd always chat about them, probably drive her crazy. Like, what do you think about this, right? And it always hinged off, like, doing something cool. I never really cared. Like, the goal wasn't just to be like, I need to get as rich as possible. So the idea is
it's
just,
it's always
like,
been around living, like
freedom.
Your best life. So yeah. You can be like, let's quit our jobs and move to wherever. I'm like, and do what exactly? Like, so, like, it's always been, like, ideas about, like, how can we, like, live a cooler life?
Or, live
like, a
more,
live yeah, live hard. Yeah. Yeah. So it's never been about, like. Although there was, like, you wanted to become a lawyer at one point, and there was, like, an LSAT book in our house.
Oh, that's when I realized I didn't want to be a lawyer. Yeah, I was just like, yeah, I think I'm only doing this for money.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, so
actually, that was like, that was
were you
like,
watching Suits at the time?
No, I wasn't, actually. Was that was like, before Netflix, was
like,
yeah.
Yeah, this was, like, straight out of university.
Yeah, and I was, like,
going
to go.
I might go for my LSAT. I'm like, okay. And then, like, that died real quick.
Like, well, yeah, because I, like, I don't know why I'd thought about that, but I was like, oh, this should be a decent job where you can just make it. And it was 100%, like, I was, like, a 22-year-old, like, young man. I was, like, 100% based off of, like, oh, this could be prestigious
yeah.
and, like, well-paying, right? And then I started actually thinking about it. I was like, that's the last thing I want to do. So, like,
see if we could sell that book on Marketplace.
I'd probably hold. I don't know if the LSAT changed. I never did take the LSAT. No.
I don't think you even read the book. Like, maybe the little
No, we went and drove across Canada and said, I started reading it. And
there was no audiobook for it.
No, there was an audiobook for the thing then, right? So I was just like, yeah, I don't want to do that, right? So, so yeah, that one wasn't a business, but probably would have turned it into a business somehow. Probably would have owned my own law firm. Yeah. But no, those were the only kind of, only business. Do you ever have anything else that you did in, like, business-wise?
Like, just decisions that we're talking about?
No, like any other business ventures.
Oh, me, no.
Yeah.
We always, like, play, like, my dad had success with, like, real estate. So, like, we always toyed about, like, real estate property, but we never moved on.
I think every time we talked about it and actually started working through that idea, we're like, no.
Like, fixer-uppers or like, going into being a real estate agent?
No, like rental kind of thing. Yeah, like, rental properties and, and every time we kind of talked it out, it just, like, wasn't really, it didn't really seem to suit what we were looking to do.
Yeah, like, I didn't really want to deal with
it. No, I didn't want to deal with it. It's like, I have a hard time managing one house. Like, yeah. I couldn't imagine owning, like, yeah. four. Mm-hmm. Like, so, yeah.
You didn't want to be a real estate mogul?
No, that one didn't really interest me. But
I mean, I've got people in my family that that's how they made, like, their fortune. I was like, real estate.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're really well off. But, like, we were just like, maybe not for us. So,
yeah, it was a cool idea because you're around them and you ask them questions about it and, like, how it went for them. And obviously they had their up and downs too. Yeah. And it's cool hearing their stories. But it just, like, didn't fit, like, a passion of ours,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, so, like, passion, I'm like, sure. We'd have to hire a management company.
Because the one thing I've realized, at least your family that did that, is, like, they just love property and, like, knowing the value of something. You know what I mean? Like, they always were looking at property because they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
thoroughly enjoyed, like, oh, he's looking at property and looking after it and building it up. I was like, yeah, I'm not that person. I don't like building stuff, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not very good at it, right? So
we moved into our house. We didn't have a deck. And every year, Ian's like, I'll build the deck. I'll build the deck. We have another book, How to Build Decks. Brand new.
Yes.
I think it was like $50. And then finally one year, Ian's like, I'm not going to build this deck.
No, let's hire somebody.
And Ian just like hired someone and was building it like a week. And
yeah,
I was
built
like,
a beautiful deck. Yeah.
Gorgeous deck.
Way better than
like,
me.
We
yeah.
just have to accept like our strengths and like accept our weaknesses.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
I was like, are we going to build this deck?
Yeah. So I like to buy books and not execute. The thoughts there.
Next month's going to be coffee and books for sale. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a lot of coffee books, but those get
those read well front read. To back, yeah.
Yeah. Fork in the road moment. So, like, were you ever faced with a decision and you didn't know at the time, obviously, besides for the roaster and the lease, think of something different. Like a moment when you were faced with a decision The outcome came and it actually sent you on the trajectory where Alternate Route is today.
Whew, that's a deep question.
Yeah.
I think it was being part of the airport community, actually. So it wasn't even really lease space. So it was something that we looked at, and we didn't actually going into that lease agreement. Like, we only kind of thought about it as like a space and a lease, like something tangible. We didn't really understand. They're like, oh, there's actually like a huge business community out here of like varied people and varied backgrounds that are like very open to chatting. So there's actually like a really nice small business community in our same building.
Yeah, I didn't even realize a community in the end.
No, and it's awesome. There.
So, you know what I didn't even realize like about the airport either? They're a nonprofit. So they're... Yeah, they want to, like, make money to, like, pay, but, like, they're not in it to be, like, there's, mm-hmm. yeah, right? Like, so they want to see you succeed. They're
like, well, they wanted a partner. Yeah. That's what they said to, like, even us from right from the beginning.
They hire us.
Like, we want a partner with you. And that's, like, oh, okay, so it comes back to that partnership thing. Like, they were looking for the same thing as us. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just a transaction.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a transaction aspect to it, but it goes far beyond just a transaction.
Yeah. Like, right? They hire us for events, and they, like they're just so supportive.
Oh, with the airport?
Yeah. Oh, like, wow, they'll bring in, like, Swoop released a new airplane. They hired our cart to be there when all, like, the VIP came for this like unveiling of the Edmonton airline, and like it was cool. We're in like this giant hangar with all these like VIPs, and like they're really great with like all these, and something we definitely didn't think about.
Yeah, that was like a surprise. So I think that was I have said that to Kelly. I was like, I think this is one of the best business decisions we made is coming out here.
Yeah.
So like we may not ever like be in that same spot that we're in at the airport forever, but it's gonna be at that airport.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's an awesome community, and I think it's gonna be even a stronger community in years to come. LaDuke County has done a really good job for enabling businesses. We get a lot of politicians that come by, usually around election time, and they wanna know like what small businesses need to succeed. And I always say the same thing is like, we just need you to enable business. Like try to make doing business, like we all want to do business respectfully, correct, but like make it easy. Do you know what I mean? We shouldn't have to dig for stuff and like, hey, you want 7 inspections and we're all ready and like you can't do it for 2 months or like make it easy, right? And not to bash the city of Edmonton, but they have some areas of improvement from what we've heard is like they're not doing
there's
the best
a lot
job
of hoops
at
to jump through
enabling business.
To run a business in the city by the sounds of it. And I think also like so the airport's technically on like county land. It's like federal land, but it's leased from the county. Like LaDuke County, they have like an economic development team that's been like top notch. Just like ideas on how they can like support all of like agritourism or like any of the the businesses in the county, and like how can we get people out here, and like they really work. So I think being at the airport landed us in the county, which landed us with this like group of people and all these other surrounding businesses that have like really partnered together. And like again, this goes back, we've had really great relationships with a lot of those other businesses now, and we throw around ideas like how can we get them to come to your business and then our business, and like
there's some massive entities in the industrial area.
Oh,
where you guys
it's crazy.
Are situated. Like, there's some big businesses in there. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of growth in there. Like, there's a lot of new businesses being built in there. And not small businesses.
No.
Massive mega.
They're actually talking about, remember we went to a chamber event where there was, like, a commercial real estate, like, mogul that was talking about this stuff. And he said that it was, that's going to be one of the most, like, desirable places for businesses to go.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those bigger ones, like you were talking, because it's easy. Of doing business. Tax structure is very awesome. There's a huge base of skilled, talented workers, the cost of living. So it's like all those factors that bigger companies, because some of those are hiring thousands of employees.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we need a base of 1,000 employees, right? Like,
and Amazon's got 2 warehouses.
A huge warehouse.
Better place to have it, right at the airport.
So logistics is great. Taxes are great.
And the highway, man. You don't have to go through a city to get to.
No, they're actually quite easy to get on and off. So that area has a lot of places working for it.
It is.
Even just something simple as logistics is there. So I think we're going to really see some strong business activity, both big and small, in that area. And I really think it's going to be like a mecca or a hub.
Yep.
Maybe I could just be making stuff up, but I really do believe there's a big future in that area. And just to give you an example of what the county does to enable business, we had all of our permits done in 3 days.
Oh, wow.
When we first got
that
place.
Impressive.
They had to like, oh, yeah, we can do it under in a week. I was like, oh, they always say that. They're like, when would you like it by? I was like, think it was like Tuesday night. So I was like, yeah, by Friday, and they had done. Don, you guys are good to go. And I'm like, that is enabling business.
Yeah, there's just there. very little red tape.
Yeah. Like, we still did everything right and correct, but they had the people in place to review everything. We knew exactly what we needed, and they're just like, approved, done, good to go.
Yeah. It's like big city, but with like small town feel. Like, the mayor of Leduc County comes out to like
everything, how many all events? The time.
Like, yeah. Yeah,
you knows you
like,
by name.
Yeah, he knows you by name. We know her. Like, it's just like a really cool like community.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I think the counselors really are committed to doing that, which is nice, right? Because we see that in like politics, everybody has an agenda, right? We know that.
Always.
And their agenda really, you know, what they say is we want to enable business and support business, and that actually their actions support what they're saying and doing, and they're showing up to these events and they're doing it. So it's really nice to be a part of that community, because business takes a lot of stakeholders and there's a lot of challenges that we face. And what we have found is different industries or different small businesses still face a lot of the same challenges. Mm-hmm. Shipping is just a huge thing. And I think in all businesses right now, like, shipping is really tough, and it's expensive in Canada. Like, there, it's just a huge expensive thing, mm-hmm. and it's tough to figure out, and it's a big country. So like, sometimes shipping stuff out east to the East Coast is more expensive than shipping it down to like California.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got a partner for you.
Yeah.
I'm not even.
No, seriously. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. No, that's good to hear. And like, it's, yeah, shipping logistics are, you know, I think something that a lot of people deal with. And I'm sure even in your guys' industry, you're dealing with that, probably mostly the purchasers. Right, that are like dealing with logistics, but like, yeah, Canada's a big country with a lot of land. It's hard to move goods.
It costs a lot.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we don't have maybe the volume, so it's more expensive, right? Like, maybe
as a new business, you mean?
No, I just mean like the volume as like a country.
Okay,
you know, like when you're in the U.S., so what is a like?
Yeah,
like if you could buy a sea can of green coffee.
Yeah, it
you
does
can get a way
everything.
Better deal than if you get a pallet. But like,
shipping,
we're
yeah.
obviously not at the. We can buy a sea can of the same coffee because you have to obviously sell it by a certain date.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, I mean, I can.
What's
that?
Yeah. Production.
Yeah. We're actually, we have some ideas for getting some sea cans in. So stay posted for the episode 20, 100 yeah. next time. You can ask us how we figured out the sea can thing. Well, we do have a good idea, actually.
Drones.
So that's not drones, though.
Might have a connection for you.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Because, yeah, that stuff's always fun, right? And always a big learning curve, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Great.